Hey, what's going on, Clipper folks, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positively jacked, Chuck Locklear.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Heck yes.
Great news. We got a coach. We've been staying with you this whole search, which has been very harrowing for Chuck Mockler.
It was a lot of roller coaster ride.
But good news is in sight. Ty Lue has officially been named as head coach. It looks like there's going to be some interesting additions to the staff.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to kick things off talking about that. Obviously, the biggest piece of Clippers news in a while.
Yeah.
So we got to break that down. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the fans' reaction to this hiring. It was, would you say, mixed? I mean, mostly positive.
Genuinely mostly positive. The people who have kind of things to nitpick we'll talk about, but it was mostly positive. I think people are excited for the most part, at least on Twitter, which is a hard place to be excited.
Yes. And then we're going to wrap things up with a love, marry, quarantine, all that and more coming up soon on your 5-day-a-week Clippers podcast.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Oh, yes. So it was reported in very Clippers Woj bomb fashion. It was just one sentence. It was like Ty Lue has agreed to become the next head coach for Los Angeles Clippers. Chauncey Billups will be his head assistant, which was kind of surprising, but a lot of people were excited about this. I'm excited about this. And then Larry Drew, also an assistant who's worked with Ty Lue before. So, you know, there's some familiarity there. But let's just start off with the length of the deal. 5 years. Are you hyped on that? I know I said I wanted 3 years for a head coach, but I kind of like this 5-year deal, I think.
Well, I thought that what we had said basically was, 3 years was bare minimum. And I thought no matter what, a coach would have to be offered 4 pretty much to take the job.
Yeah. And he wanted 5 years from the Lakers last year, and they were only going to give him 3.
Yes.
So he gets the deal he wants.
Yes, absolutely. You know, that was going to be paramount in securing any top-level talent. Even a first-year coach, I don't know why you would agree to a deal shorter than 3 or 4 years. So the years doesn't really surprise me. I hope that his tenure, he's able to prove it well enough that he's able to complete those 5 years with the team. I mean, I'm pretty excited about the hire.
Yeah.
So I'm not that worried about the years. And the thing is, you know, if it doesn't work out, you know, it's Ballmer's money. So it truly doesn't matter. While I've said I don't want a revolving door of coaches, I'm fully down for spending Ballmer's money anytime,
yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah, I'm down with that too. And a big key with the 5 years is from the ESPN article about him being hired, Lou had significant support among key Clippers players in the search process, which I think is obviously, you know, we kind of all expected, no matter who the hire was. But Doc was a big reason apparently that Kawhi came to the Clippers. So we got to assume Kawhi is down with this move. Got to assume PG is down. Also, if PG isn't down, hey, get used to it, PG. but I think that's reassuring, right?
Yes, it's super reassuring. And it was also, once again, one of those things that was going to be paramount to this hire. I do think that, you know, in a lot of ways, this is the safest decision.
Yeah.
Just because you get the name recognition. And I think that that's something that's assuring for players. They don't want to be part of an experiment for a first year head
especially
coach.
Especially
this team. I mean, you know, Kawhi definitely wants to get another ring. And definitely, like, I think that he's cognizant of, you know, how large or small his window, like 4 championships in, you know, the rest of his career is. So I don't think he's ever going to be really willing to punt on a year to learn and develop a new system, whether that be for better or worse. But it's still great to hear. I mean, you know, we've talked about this, like it seemed like he was, for that reason alone, like the most desirable pick.
A lot of interviews.
A lot of interviews. And, you know, like, while this was, you know, I did maybe say that it's a safe pick, I still think he is the best available guy.
Yes.
I think that, like, I just kind of think that that's what you got to go with.
For sure. And we're going to talk about kind of how the fans reacted compared to the other candidates who were available in the next segment. But let's get into his coaching style, which is unfairly lambasted by people who only probably watch the Cavs play in the finals, which I'm, that's not a disrespectful thing. If it's, if you're a Western Conference, you know, fan of a team in the Western Conference and it's not the Warriors, you have truly no reason to have ever watched Ty Lue coach the Cavaliers, right?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't really make sense.
Also, what team did beat the Warriors with Kevin Durant?
Exactly. Shane Young, great follow on NBA Twitter. Fantastic to converse with. He's he said he's prepared to see a lot more of Paul George moving off the ball in weak side actions, which he was already doing a bit during the season in seeding games. And he's also excited to see how Shamet can improve with Lou as a head coach, which is something that, like, that reading that, like, hit me in the face. Cause I'm like, yes, we're going to actually get motions called for Shamet. Like, it 100%. Seems like more of a distinct possibility.
100%. It was LA Clippers film room that was talking about sort of his like five out offense, which is what we've been begging for the past, it feels like forever. Years,
yeah.
So, I mean, that's like definitely one of those things that's good to see. I think that if you look at some of the pieces that he had with the Cavs, you know, he has better options, obviously, with this roster.
Yeah.
And I do think ultimately, that's super beneficial. I guess I have one question. Do you think that this changes the future with Trez at all with the team?
I went on the LA Clippers subreddit, which was kind of usually always kind of a minefield. But someone had a post that was like, are the Trez concerns kind of null and void now that Doc isn't the coach, right? Like, Doc's the one putting him in these positions. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, if that contract for Trez is right, I'm a little more excited to sign it. You know, like, I'm a little more like, how is Ty Lue going to use him? How are we going to see him in the five-out lineup? Like, it gives me more
hope. He's not a five-out lineup guy.
Yeah, true. It gives me more hope that we can see a more productive Trez. Like, regular season, I'm not worried about Trez, right? Like, that's no one's real concern. But so playoffs, I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to maybe seeing Trez not play as much, which I think Lue would do because he was there firsthand for what happens. But I think it's I'm not as worried about Trez with Lue being the head coach right now. And Ty Lue can control a locker room. Like, he famously told LeBron to shut the F up in the huddle in game 7. Like, that's not someone who's afraid of controlling the locker room and trying to get their point across. And, you know, kind of like a lot of the people who say that, like, you know, he doesn't have X's and O's, he can't really coach, we need to put that argument to bed.
I mean, isn't it, like, the same thing that people said about Spoelstra until recently, when people like got their heads out of their asses and were like, no, this guy could coach.
Exactly. Like, you know, on the Warriors game, he was quoted because someone, of course, asked him about, you know, how do you feel about people saying you're only a good coach because having LeBron or something to that effect. And in that game 7, he said, we hold them to 89 points on their home court in game 7. LeBron's not doing that. Simply just making the point that his staff is the one who put schemes together to stop that Warriors offense. Like,
I mean, I agree. And I've commended him on this show multiple times. I mean, that to me is a very impressive title.
It's crazy. Like,
Especially just given the talent disparity and, you know, just how much
deficit, like,
yeah, how much better, frankly, that Warriors offense was. That's just one of those impressive ones to me. So,
and there's
I think that you can't give all the credit to LeBron. I mean, he deserves a lot of credit, no doubt, but
yeah,
it's more than one dude.
Yeah, and like, there's these just little tidbits that, like, Doc Rivers once jokingly called Ty Lue a thief for his attentiveness on the sidelines and note taking of after timeout plays. Like, you just don't do those things if you're not only a good X's and O's coach, that you're not dedicated to being a good X's and O's coach.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
David Griffin had a great quote. He said, Ty Lue never got any love and respect from the front offices. And yet, if you ask coaches, and I know this because I've seen this conversation take place among many coaches sitting together in Las Vegas, if you ask coaches which head coach makes the best in-game offensive adjustments, Ty Lue's name comes up very, very quickly. Like,
makes
it's
sense.
Just this thing. Like, he's a good X's and O's coach.
Yes. Yeah. He brings it all, I think, to the table. I understand why people, like, maybe weren't super excited by it. Like, maybe it doesn't seem as tantalizing as, you know, bringing in something totally new. But I think it's pretty hard for me to not see this as the best and most natural fit moving on from Doc.
I think natural is a great word that you just used, because like you said, we don't want, you know, like, yeah, what do we want? Do we want kind of the surprise, not knowing maybe what we're going to get from a first year head coach? Or do we kind of want, I'm happy we kind of have that, like, this guy has won a championship in the second toughest environment, other than, I'm going to guess, say the bubble, just for weirdness, right? Like,
yeah,
he got it done. He's had to deal with media before, because when you coach a LeBron team, especially in Cleveland, you're going to have to deal with the national media. Like, he was scrutinized more.
Oh, but don't you know, no one talks about the Clippers. So
yeah, exactly.
It's not, he's not going to be bothered by that.
So it's just like, no, I'm really excited about it. He was in kind of before the hire, I was doing an outline for this episode, and I had like the tiers for what coaches we would wanted. And he was in tier one along with Sam Cassell. There is some uncertainty what's going to happen with Sam and Rex Kalamian, which is a little unfortunate.
I think they might be out, folks.
I think they might too. But overall, I'm excited. Coming up, we're going to be talking how Clippers fans on Twitter are reacting. And spoiler alert, most of them are pretty excited.
All right, so we're back and put a poll out there on Twitter. Basically just how everyone was feeling about Ty Lue as a new head coach. And overwhelmingly, about 79% of people who voted were in the yay category. They were pleased with his hiring. And a meager 21% was against it. I don't know, man. There were worse coaches out there to be had.
I'll tell you what, like, so imagine imagine how you'd feel had we hired JVG or Mike Brown, even like
or Mike Brown or well, even Nate McMillan, who I like Nate McMillan. He's not the coach for this team.
Yeah. It's just this thing of like, it's either do you want a head coach who's already coached with less success than Ty Lue, or do you want complete uncertainty? Because the first year head coach, while exciting as it would have been, you know, Wes Unseld would have been cool. We talked him up a bunch. Like, we didn't get to interview Dan Craig, but who knows what happens there. But like, we now know we have a coach who is a legitimate championship level coach. And there was some criticism of like, oh, he has the same amount of rings as Doc. It's such a different situation that if you go one-to-one with that, sure, I guess you could say he has the same amount of rings as Doc. But A, he still has a ring. Like, which is,
I don't understand that. Are you? I frankly don't understand the logic of that argument at all.
Yeah, it doesn't make, like, none of the arguments.
They both have rings. Who cares?
Yes. And, you know, the assistant coaching, like, a lot of people in the comments were like, you know, the Lou hiring, I wasn't super excited on. They weren't necessarily, you know, against it, but they were like, oh, this is a good hire. But then the addition of Chauncey Billups as the head assistant coach really excites people, which I also agree with. Like, he's kind of been in the mix for pretty high level jobs.
Yes, he was interviewed for the GM job for the Sixers, I believe.
And I think the Cavs at one point.
Oh, it was the Cavs. It was not the Sixers. Yeah. That's my bad. It was for the Cavs. And then, yeah, I mean, he was reportedly being looked at for a head coaching job, but I haven't heard anything on that front in a while.
Yeah, and, you know, the Booth loses somebody. Brian Seaman loses somebody, which sucks. But Chauncey knows X's and O's, right? Like, this is a guy who, he's finals MVP, like, one of the best point guards of all time. Yes, I said it. The staff is solid. Like,
yes,
he's got a good support staff. Larry Drew being there is great too, but this does kind of beg the question, are Sam and Rex out? It's kind of a crowded assistant coach situation right now, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're out. I do think that Sam could end up maybe as an assistant coach for the Rockets. I'm bummed that that didn't end up coming to fruition either. They were kind of taking a look at him.
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be, you know, now that we're doing player coaches, apparently, well, I mean, at least Sam does have, you know, the resume and the background, being on the bench for so long, with coaching staffs. So I don't know. I don't think that he stays with the franchise. I think at this point, you know, if we're not really going to be developing talent, especially guards.
Which we have kind of Chauncey, like, who knows how Chauncey is at developing, but there's worse guys to learn from if you're Terrence Mann than just being around Chauncey Billups.
he doesn't hate the game of basketball despite winning a chip with a very different style.
The antithesis of what basketball is now.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a really good point. But yeah, I mean, the overwhelmingly positive reaction is great. Like, Clippers fans were never gonna, you know, like, truly outright riot or anything over this pick. Like, there's some there's some
JVG, we riot.
Okay, I mean, that's fair. I just meant Ty Lue specifically. But, you know, like, there's some grumblings that, like, he couldn't get it done without LeBron. Also, people point to the year he was fired from Cleveland when he went, like, what was it, like, 1-8 for those games, and it looked bad. The issue with that roster was built to tank. They finished the season with, like, 15 wins.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that wasn't on him at all.
And they lied to Kevin Love about wanting to compete after maxing him out. So, like, it's not like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, he was fired because he wanted to win. He didn't want to play young guys and tank. Like, so they're like, this is not a fit. So I don't think you can cite that as a knock on Tyronn Lue. I mean, I think after David Griffith was out of Cleveland, I mean, that franchise kind of started to fall apart.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this is a good hire. Clippers fans, we should all be super excited. There's a great quote from the LA Times article that said he's not going to tolerate mediocrity if it cuts against winning when it comes to Ty Lue. So, like, this dude wants to win. And I also think part of it is there might be some motivation here for Ty Lue to want to get a chip, quote unquote, without LeBron. I'm not saying it's totally motivating him. You know what I mean? But being in this city, having had the offer from the Lakers, he had a chance to coach over there, but he wanted the longer contract, which is also smart on him. There's no reason you should take a shorter contract if you know you can get a longer one. I think that might be kind of a nice motivating factor, you know? Like, we might see not a rejuvenated Ty Lue, because it's not like he was down on the dumps or anything like that, but we're going to see a really awesome version of Ty Lue, and I'm really excited to see what he can do with this team.
Yeah, you don't think he's going to be out late nights walking Skid Row, do you?
I hope not. So, man, I was reading more into what was going on with him during that time. He had, I believe it was his wife and his mother were both going through pretty intense medical issues. So he just had so much going on. He's in a city, Los Angeles is a city where, you know, there's a whole industry you can just kind of slow down and take your time and meditate and stuff like that. So, like, he's in a city where self-care, I would say, is probably put at a precedent, maybe higher than any other city in the United States. So,
yeah,
like,
that's fair.
From, like, that perspective, you know, and the ushering in of more, you know, openness with the league and specifically the Clippers team with just taking care of your mental health. You know, it's that old Doc quote, like, sprained ankle should be the same as a mental health day type thing. I think this excuse me, Glenn, now that he's in Philly. I think he's in a great place. There's no way he's taken this job if he wasn't totally comfortable knowing kind of the circus he went through with the Cavs.
He's ready for it, man. I mean, I think he's like the guy who's the most built for it out of the available names. I get it. I mean, like, I don't know why we waited so long to announce it, you know. But I think that's just further proof that he's the right fit, because they actually went out and did their due diligence. They didn't right away just, you know, go.
That would have freaked me out, right? Like, that's what's so funny is if we would have just done this 2 days after Doc got fired, it would have been like, wait, what? Like, we're not even going to interview other people?
Yeah, totally. So, you know, I know that people were getting nervous about, you know, the lack of direction and the lack of a head coach, but that's all put to rest now. And I mean, I couldn't be more happy that, you know, we did the due diligence. We really left no stone unturned. And I think that we still came out with the best candidate.
Yes. You know, I will say I'm bummed for Sam Cassell.
Yes.
I'm not sure. Yeah, like, that sucks. Like, I hope he gets a head coaching job somewhere if he doesn't end up, you know, sticking with the team. I also really hope he sticks with the team. Like, chemistry wise, it can't be a detriment to keep Sam around, you know? No. Like,
it's not personal though. It's just Clipsness, baby.
Oh God. are you switching from zenned out Will Clippers fan to just like businessman Clippers fan?
Yeah, I'm switching to old timey Bluetooth headset.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. Big double breasted suit for no reason.
If you want to buy some stocks in my boiler room, come on over.
I don't think that's how that works. Yeah, thank you to everyone who voted in the fan poll at Locked On Clips. Yeah, let us know your thoughts. People have been pretty excited that David Griffin quotes get a lot of traction, which is good. We got to be excited because the alternative is, you know, being sad. So we might as well be jacked on this new hire. Coming up, we have a Ballmer influential love, marry, quarantine.
Okay, so we're back and it's Friday. So we got to bring you a love, marry, quarantine. As we all know, Steve Ballmer has promised some massive changes.
Yes.
So why don't you go ahead and introduce this love, marry, quarantine for the folks?
So Ballmer, you know, he said he's wanted massive changes, which as one fantastic Twitter user, Ben at Step Back Tree, pointed out, this is our third new broadcasting crew in three seasons. That's a drastic change right there. So in this scenario, Ballmer wants more pizzazz from the coaching staff and asks Ty Lue to become an influencer. So we're going to love, marry, quarantine these influencer / spokesperson. I feel like both are the same thing. So we're going to love, marry, quarantine these options. Option one, Ty Dye Lue. For this, he just starts rocking exclusively tie-dye pocket squares and becomes which isn't a bad look.
I'm not mad at it.
And starts kind of, yeah, for some random company. Second option.
All white suit, tie-dye pocket square. Yes, please.
Second option, Mai Tai Lue gets a sponsorship from a booze company for this one. Starts only drinking Mai Tais when he's out in public, in the proper setting, of course.
Yes. You
know, he's got the little Clippers. They put little umbrellas in Mai Tais. Hanging out at Tiki Tea. And then we have Fly Tai Lue. He starts having to pitch those water jetpacks people use, and he has to do product demos for this one at the Santa Monica Pier.
Oh, man. Sounds dangerous.
Seems like a good time, though. Also, picturing Ty Lue doing this is the funniest thing in the world to me.
Well, I got quarantine, I think, Fly Ty Lue. I'm worried about his safety.
It's a little dangerous. I think
he's a 43-year-old man. he's not going to bounce back from any sort of injuries.
From a water jetpack malfunction.
Yeah. Also, he shouldn't be down at Santa Monica Pier.
Well, I mean, this is a no COVID
scenario.
You
should be working. Oh,
okay. Yeah. You're looking for the hoodie, Ty Lue.
He can be in San Diego with Kawhi, or he can be inside Staples Center, even if games aren't resuming there.
That's how head coaches' offices work.
So I'm loving the Mai Tai Lue. I think a sponsorship from a booze company would be good. I guess my question is, there's so many different ingredients in Mai Tai. So is this a booze company that's selling like a pre-made Mai Tai in a bottle, or is this a rum company? I have some reservations about that.
Given current market trends, it's a company that's selling like a pre-made one.
Well, I want to switch it to it is a rum company, and it's some sort of Navy cask strength rum that's very dark, very delicious.
Yeah,
and that I love.
Great, that's fair.
I'm gonna marry Ty Dye Lue.
This seems like a fun one.
Yeah, I think funny pocket squares would be really cool. I think that now that he's in California, he might try an edible or something. So I think that this would be a good move towards Cali Lue in general.
Ooh,
which
Cali
I want to
Lue.
See a lot more of.
Yeah, more pictures of him in flip-flops and really long board shorts.
Yes. Possibly a fitted suit with shorts instead of pants.
Oh, the Paul George route.
Yes.
That's not a bad
I think
call.
That's a good look.
Yeah. I think I'm going to switch. I'm going to love Ty Dye Lue. I love this idea. However, I think it's a little too toned down. I want him to do full tie-dye suit for this scenario.
tie-dye suit is too much. Tie-dye pocket square is tasteful. The suit is too much.
Agreed. But this is also, this will be like opening night and Bill Walton comes out in a matching suit. Because I think that would work very well.
Bill Walton parachutes in from the sky.
Yeah, Sting style. I'm going to marry my Ty Lue because I think Ty Lue's vibe fits very much in with tiki drinks and stuff like that. I think he'd be.
I don't know that it does, but it will.
That's fair. I think he just loves, you know, nice refreshing drink. It's like 97 degrees, and it's, you know, the middle of October right now. So he's got it. It's not Cleveland, you know. He's not being a spokesperson for whatever they drink over there. hot stout beers. I'm not sure.
Do you think his family's already moved to Los Angeles since he was here like last year, or
probably
do you think they've been waiting on that?
I'm not sure where they live, so I don't know.
Where he stay? Where he stay at?
I don't know where he stay at. And I think I do have to quarantine fly Ty Lue. It does seem a little dangerous.
But it's too scary for me.
The content is there for it to be very funny.
I do. I mean, I would love the like outtake of Ty Lue like shooting up in the air, be like, whoa, whoa!
It'd be a good time. I'm also excited. Like, let us know what you would love, Mary Quarantine at Locked On Clips also. I'm excited for him in the press because Ty Lue is very good with the press.
Yes.
He's not as much of a kind of politician as Doc is, but I think he might be a little more realer than Doc is.
What if he just starts? Sense. What if once quarantine is over, he just starts hanging out at House of Pies, just drawing up plays, and they start calling him Pie Ty Lue?
Okay. If he did a crossover with House of Pies, I would be into that. Shout out House of Pies. I hope
they're drinking coffee and they have beers there. You know, if it's been a rough night.
One of my most interesting trips to House of Pies was before a Dodgers game. I ordered the chicken fried steak and just a glass of red for some reason. And it was pretty good.
I'm not mad at it.
Another fun content thing to check out for Ty Lue. Watch the video where the golden ring falls out of his mouth during a game.
Dude, this was the most, this is one of the more, this is something that gets spoken about enough. At some point, a ring falls out of Ty Lue's mouth, completely unexplained. Apparently, it was a lifesaver, which was described later, which I don't believe.
I don't believe
I refuse
that.
To believe.
It looks like a gold ring.
There's definitely a deeper conspiracy going on there that we may have to uncover.
Well, I guess reports before that game was actually Dr. Robotnik was hovering above the Cavs arena. So there might be a connection there. Sonic the Hedgehog reference for all you, the hedge heads out there. Anything else in shavings? Anything else we want to just say to the fans?
No. I mean, I think that just ultimately we should feel good about this. It's good to know that there is
good.
A direction. Yes. It's good to know that there is a direction. And it's, you know, we have somebody who is experienced, who has been there before at the helm. And I think that's something to look forward to. And I think that he could be a move in the right direction of, you know, helping to build that identity. And at the very least, at the very, very least, getting the locker room on the same page.
We're right there. This is great news to have before the weekend hits. Hope everyone has a wonderful and safe weekend. Remember, you know, rock that mask if you're going to go do some stuff. You can go do some stuff. Just wear the mask. It's no big deal.
I've been going double mask, front mask, back mask.
Back of the head? That's smart. I wear the same one with my face painted on it so I don't get attacked by large natural predators. Monday's episode, we're going to do a crossover with the Locked On Cavs host, which is going to be a good time, just talking what to expect from Ty Lue. So excited for those guys to join us. We're going to be talking the freshies, which, you know, it's going to be a real low pick in the draft, but we'll find some stuff to talk about. Literally every single player in college is on the table, except for the good ones. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these fantastic people tell their friends and new Ty Lue fans to find us?
So you can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Leave a rating or review. Helps us out. We'd love to know what you think of the show. So, yeah, just keep rocking with us. We still got news. This is just the beginning of the moves that are going to be made coming into this 2021 season, and I could not be more excited to bring that news to you.
Yes, let's get hyped. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.